Amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Good morning. Get my mind back into it. Thanks for your patience. You ever find yourself in a conversation with somebody where you're looking at them in the eyes, you're genuinely trying to listen? Some of you are already understand where I'm going with this. And yet you can't help but overhear the conversation next to you. And I don't know if you try, it's hard to listen to two things at the same time, right? You feel this overwhelming sense of guilt because you're looking at the person whose lips are moving, but you're actually listening to the voice over here. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Everyone's like, I know exactly what you're talking about because Maisie, I see you do that every Sunday. When I'm talking to you, your eyes start, because you have, attention issues, right? It's difficult to listen to two voices at the same time, isn't it? And if you think about the world in which we live, there's an infinite number of voices that are speaking. There are so many sounds. There's noise. There's voices all over the place with opinions and do this and do that. There are so many voices calling us in the world. Come, let's do this. Let's do that. And that's a disorienting feeling. It's disorienting. It's like music, right? If there's more than five sounds, it's disorienting, especially if they're out of connection with one another. Too many sounds, we have a hard time hearing, hard time making sense. And so it's difficult to listen to two voices, too many sounds. And yet what's interesting is we're in this book of Proverbs, and Proverbs, without denying the fact that there are quantity of voices out there, Proverbs is basically dividing the world in half. There are really only two kinds of voices out there. Last week, we heard from voice number one, the voice of folly, right? The enticing sinners called out, come with us. Let's do this. Well, today, there's another voice that is speaking. This week, her name is Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom is calling out to us today. So this begs the question, what does Lady Wisdom say to us? And by implication, will we listen? Will we hear and listen to what Lady Wisdom has to say? Grab your Bibles, open up to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. Please follow along with me. The words will be on the screen. If you got a Bible, don't be afraid to open it. Let's get into it. Let's see what God has to say to us. Let's see what Lady Wisdom has to say. Verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I've called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you've ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away. And the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure, will be at ease without dread of disaster. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray your spirit would fill us, open our eyes, open our ears, that we might listen, truly listen to Lady Wisdom, truly listen to you. Transform us from the inside out, we pray, and lead us toward the path of peace. In Christ's name, amen. Time flies when you're having fun. You ever seen time fly? That's weird, right? How about this one? The sun smiled down on us. You say, not in central New York, it didn't. The city never sleeps. Probably a New York City kind of thing, right? That's an interesting way to communicate, isn't it? It's called personification. It's when we give human qualities to non-human things. It's a powerful way to communicate. And Solomon, as he writes, is using personification. He's saying that wisdom is crying aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. The head of the noise, she cries out. The entrance of the city gate, she speaks. We are told of Lady Wisdom, who is speaking to us. And where does she cry out? We're surprised in many ways. We're told that she cries out and calls out in the street, in the markets, at the head of the noisy streets, at the entrance of the city gates. This is where life happened. This is where culture expressed itself. This was in the ordinariness of everyday life. This is where relationships are fostered, where business transactions occur, where ideas are exchanged. That's where wisdom cries out. That's where Lady Wisdom raises her voice, in the middle of the public square. We don't need to drive off into the woods and get away from everyone to hear the voice of wisdom. Voice of wisdom is crying out in the ordinariness of life at places like Destiny USA. And you're like, you've gone too far. Maybe. Or Salt City Market. Lockheed Martin. At Syracuse University. When you're at Wegmans, just picking up a few odds and ends, right? At Burn Dairy, getting gas. That's where life happens. In our Zoom meetings. In our homes, when we're doing laundry. When we're just getting the dishes done. When we're interacting at the dinner table. Where life happens. In the ordinariness of our lives. Wisdom is calling out. That's a double-edged sword. Because the good news about that is that we don't need to drive off into the woods. We don't need to go on some, you know, expedition somewhere to find Lady Wisdom and to hear her voice. No, it's right here. Wisdom is present and active, speaking in the midst of the ordinariness of our lives. But the other part of it is, it makes hearing wisdom a little difficult, right? We are so busy. We are so easily distracted in the ordinariness of our lives. We get to thinking that the simple things that we do are the ultimate things, that the business transactions, that's the ultimate thing. This is what life is all about. I just got to focus on these things, and I'm living the good life. It's easy to hear, but also super difficult to hear. And there's competing voices in that public square, isn't there? And that's what Solomon is trying to say to us. We feel this tension now in Proverbs. Folly and wisdom, two voices, make it difficult to hear. We feel this tension. Who are we listening to? Right here, right now, that's an important question. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Are you attentive to the voice of Lady Wisdom? Well, right now, we read what she says. We have a unique time and a unique moment here gathered as the people of God to see what she says. Verse 22 and following. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Wisdom is lamenting a spiritual state here. How long will you do this? How much longer? By implication, the command is, please stop doing this. There's a sadness to Lady Wisdom. She's speaking to those who are simple, which means those who are naive, those who are extremely vulnerable to folly, to being shaped and lured by the foolishness of the world. How long will you love this? You love being simple. How long will you hate knowledge? Lady Wisdom is lamenting, longing, hurting. You get the emotion, there's an exhaustion in it. It's never ending. You never seem to change. There's a yearning in Lady Wisdom for a different kind of reality for us. How long will you be foolish? How long will my voice go out and you not listen? Wisdom is lamenting the foolishness of our ways. Maybe like parents whose kids have gone astray. How long will you not listen to my voice? Or like pastors who pray through the member care list, who are confused at certain decisions, who feel the weight and difficulty of the folly that so easily lures the people of God away from faithfulness. How long? Lady Wisdom is lamenting, and she's speaking directly to our heart here, right? How long will you love? How long will you delight in? How long will you hate? It's getting at our affections, right? Because in many ways, we always just simply do what we want to do, and we listen to what we want to listen to. Some of us are guilty of selective listening. Because at the end of the day, we're driven by our hearts. We're driven by our affections and our desires. And so wisdom is calling out to us, how long will you love these things? And in the end, that are demonstrating in your actions. So wisdom laments, how long? The question for you again today is, are you listening? Are you listening? Is your ear and your heart attuned to what wisdom is saying to you this morning? While Lady Wisdom laments, we see in verse 23 that Lady Wisdom holds out a lending hand. And there's hope. She offers us hope. If you turn at my reproof, she says, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. This is a gracious call on every one of us now to repent. That beautiful word that we don't like to hear. Repentance gets a bad rap, but it's a beautiful term. It's a term that welcomes us to a different way of thinking. More than that, a different way of living. It's a call for us to turn. You're going in this direction. You're listening to that voice. Change. Turn. And listen to wisdom. Love what God loves. That's what repentance is. It's a turning. It's a turning from walking and living in one direction to a turning and walking in another direction. To be more specific, Lady Wisdom is calling on her listeners to turn from folly and turn to wisdom. Turn from sin and a life of rebellion from God, against God, to a life of obedience and love of God. Turn to God. In your folly and in your refusal to listen because of your distorted affections, turn, change, repent. Fear the Lord. Obey the Lord. Walk in submission to the Lord. Such a turn will require a complete and decisive forfeiture of an old way of life, which we've seen illustrated in baptism today. There'll be no half-hearted turning. So many of us want to listen. We're trying to listen to both voices. We're trying to live both lives. We're trying to enjoy the temporal things with these affections and then grab a hold of the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't have both. We must choose Christ. Choose Christ today. Turn to Christ today. Repent of your sin and run into the arms of Christ today. Here's the promise. I'll pour out my spirit to you. I'll make my words known to you. Could there be a greater offering of God than that? In saying, I will give you my spirit, he's saying, I will be, like what Jesus says, I will be with you and I will be in you. That my very spirit will take residence in your life and I will transform who you are in relationship to me. I will make you like my son, Jesus Christ. You repent and turn to me, I will give you my spirit. Amen? But not only that, he says, I will give you my words. Not only that which transforms the human heart, but that which ongoing nourishes the human soul. I will feed you. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of my mouth. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to fill you. I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to feed you. What an amazing thing to think about. But let's not miss the pronoun, my spirit, my word. What he's saying is, if you turn from your sin and turn to me, I will give you myself. The greatest gift that God could ever offer, he offers to foolish sinners like you and me. I'll give you me. The fullness of who I am by my spirit and my word. Wisdom is calling. Turn from your simple ways, O sinner. Repent, confess your sins, humbly beg for mercy in Jesus, and you will be blessed by him. Amen? And we also know that even the quickening of your heart now reveals that the Spirit is there, enabling you. A gracious gift, repentance is. Repentance is a gift from the Lord. This call goes out, and for those in whom the Spirit is working effectually, it is turning you now. And you can't say no because you see the beauty of Christ. You see the value of who he is, and you compare that to the foolishness of the world, and you realize, I'd rather have Jesus. Take the world and give me Jesus. And that is the Spirit of God already working in your heart. So hear that. Repent. Wisdom is calling. Are you listening? She continues to speak. And we see that not only does she lament and hold out hope for us in repentance, we see that wisdom warns us of the consequences if we do not repent. In verses 24 through 31, we see these consequences. 32, actually. We see these consequences. If we don't listen, for whatever reason, knowing our nature, Solomon wants to speak mostly to warn us. He wants to wake us up to reality. So many of us who presume that God doesn't care about our rebellion, doesn't care about our deaf ears, that in the end, it really doesn't matter. God loves everybody no matter what. In our foolishness, we think that there are no consequences for our sins. But Lady Wisdom wants to make that clear today. that the refusal to listen to wisdom is costly. It is costly. There are four words to describe the cost that comes to us in our experience in relationship with God that really all summarize in the idea of God's judgment. These words are calamity, dread, distress, and anguish. Top 10 things we want to experience, those four words would not be on our list. Calamity, dread, distress, and anguish. We read these words in verses 24 through 32. This is what's going to happen because I've called and you've refused to listen. And then we see that it escalates the consequences. Because we might read them as simply as just difficult times in our life. But we see the greater degree is what God is and is not doing as we deal with those things. He says, as you do these things, verse 26, you do not listen, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock, he says, when terror strikes you. You will call on me, but I won't listen. You will seek me, but you will not find me. There could be no worse news than that, friend. Of all the things that we want to avoid in our lives, of all the things that we don't want to experience, we often ignore and are deaf to this reality, the judgment of God. This may seem harsh to us. It may seem like God just doesn't care or he's indifferent. He's laughing at us. He's mocking us. But what we see here is that the consequences for refusal to listen are not just costly, they are also given justly. Friends, these words reflect the justice of God. It's called retributive justice, or retributive justice. God is punishing sinners fairly according to their sin. It's understood to be a just, proportionate response. Many of our laws are based on that, right? The punishment should fit the crime, right? Friends, God is just. God is righteous. And he acts justly and he is righteous in relationship to all that he has made. And let's not forget the why of this equation. Let's remember to point the finger at the true criminal here, because we read this and we think God is on trial for his justice and his punishment of sinners. But he makes it very clear, verse 24 and 25 and 29 and 30, because I called and you refused to listen. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel, despised all my reproof. Friends, the reason for this is our refusal to listen, our hatred of God, our love for folly and the things of this world. You receive what you deserve. It's the idea of sowing and reaping. Verse 31, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. Friends, this is the justice of God on those who refuse to listen to Lady Wisdom. We see ultimately that these consequences are deadly. They're deadly. Verse 32, for the simple are killed by their turning away. The complacency of fools destroys them. The wages of sin is what? Death. If you eat of that, you will surely die. It is the sinner that refuses to repent, that does not humbly acknowledge their ways and turn to Christ for salvation, is the sinner that will eat the fruit of their way. The one who hears Lady Wisdom in the ordinariness of their lives, who continues to neglect that voice, who continues to not listen, that is storing up for themselves wrath on the day of judgment. Let us not minimize our sin and folly, and let us not presume that all will be well in the end. Let us turn to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Amen. So as you listen to these things, are you listening to Lady Wisdom? Are you seeing your need for mercy today? The good news is the Lord has done all that was necessary to absorb the wrath and maintain his justice. We see it in Romans 3, 21 through 26, friend. Right? That the righteous God who made all things, who's good and just and righteous, who will not overlook iniquity, is the same God who sent his one and only Son into the world, Jesus Christ. The one who was perfectly righteous. The one that always obeyed the word, the will of the Lord. The one who always heeded the voice of wisdom because he is wisdom. Amen? And the one who willingly laid down his life as a sacrifice for us. And in that moment, for those who embraced him by faith, he became the sacrifice on the cross in his death that absorbed all of God's righteous, just wrath. And at the same time, we're told in verse 26 that he not only is just, but he is the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. That on the cross, Jesus took all of the justice of God, and at the same time, for those who embrace Christ by faith, who turn from their sins and trust in Jesus, that now they have a righteous standing before God in God's judgment in his courtroom. They're justified. Is that amazing? So hear of Christ. Turn to Christ. Hear wisdom cry out now. Turn to him and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Really, that's a perfect intro to the last verse. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. All of these consequences that are held out for the unrepentant are brought to this wonderful conclusion and climax for us. For those who listen, for those who truly listen. There's this memorable scene in one of my favorite movies of all time, and it was, you know, I'm probably going to get in trouble for this. I was speaking last week at the Valley on this, and I was sharing it at Faith Heritage. I thought, man, I'd probably get detention for watching this movie at Faith Heritage. White Men Can't Jump. I said it. Old school 90s movie. There's this interesting dialogue between Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson in the car. They just hustled some guys playing basketball. I love basketball. I love the movie. Anyway, they have this conversation about listening to Jimi Hendrix. Woody Harrelson put the tape in. Anybody remember what tapes are? Yeah. Put the tape in the tape deck. And Wesley Snipes says, what are you doing? Like, listen to Jimmy. He says, that's your problem. He says, y'all listen, but you don't hear Jimmy. He who has ears, let him hear. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to hear. True hearing is what wisdom calls us to. If we hear, Lady Wisdom, if we hear the voice of the Lord calling out to us, there is wonderful promise. Whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. They will live in the security of knowing God. What that means is you have no fear of judgment. When judgment comes and you stand before Christ because you've listened to wisdom, you've listened to Christ, you've heard his voice, and you said, I'm responding in faith and repentance. Because of that, you have no fear or dread of incurring the wrath of God. Thessalonians says, God has not destined us for wrath, but for salvation. So you have the security now, the security of the believer, right? That no one can snatch you out of his hand. John chapter 10. Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You have the security now. No fear of judgment, but an expectation of salvation and eternal paradise and peace with the living God. It says you'll dwell secure and you'll be at ease. You say, that sounds great. I want the easy life. Friends, that is not what's being conveyed here. This is not a promise of things to get easier for you in the Christian life. I often see, and it's confusing, that when people come to faith in Jesus, things get difficult. And so I don't want to discourage the deans today. But as you're here today, know this. Live with the expectation that there will be tests and difficulty and potential suffering that enters your life that will see, is your faith genuine? But in the end, as it proves itself genuine, it's a beautiful display of grace and honoring unto God. Friends, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, it is not a promise of things will get better and more easy. Matter of fact, you can expect persecution and tribulation and suffering. You will live with a constant turmoil of the flesh and the spirit in your life. It's going to get harder. But the conundrum and shock is that we're at ease, meaning as we deal with those things, there's a peace that transforms every amount of understanding that we can come up with in human logic. We go through these things and we're able to have peace with God. The Lord gives us the ability to get through it, not just get past it, but get through it, to stay in it. And God continues to work his purposes out. We know his presence and his love and his strength and his comfort all the way through it. That's peace. It's not going to get easier, but you are going to live with an unshakable peace as you live through difficulty. Not calamity, not dread, not anguish. Peace of God. Does that sound good? It is good. That's why it sounds good. Friends, something greater than Solomon is here, Jesus said. Are you listening to Jesus? You're attentive to his voice. Jesus makes it clear. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Security. Safety. The rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. That's the wrath of God. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Listen to wisdom, live secure. Listen to Christ Jesus and live secure. And as you do that, build a listening life. Built on the foundation of Christ Jesus, we now sustain and develop an ongoing listening life. That's what Christ calls us to. We're so busy. The wonderful news is we can listen in the busyness and craziness of our lives by structuring and remaining committed to weekly corporate worship. You right now are listening. And you know what else you're doing? You're resting. In the busyness and the insanity of our lives, we are resting in Christ and we're listening. Build a listening life by listening in corporate worship. But build a listening life by taking in Scripture. Right? All these voices around us. Well, how do I know what wisdom is? How do I discern between folly and wisdom? Right here, the book, the Scriptures. Daily, multiple times daily, soak your life in the Scriptures. We are spending hours looking at trash on Instagram. And you know, it's just like fools, scoffers gonna scoff. And they do it on Instagram. The things that we're listening to just for a dopamine rush. Listen to the Word of God. Be attentive to wisdom. Grab your Bible, read it regularly, read it from Genesis to Revelation, do it chronologically. I don't care, the read together plan, grab a hold of it. I don't know what to read. Read what everyone else in the church is reading. Just read. As you read, God will speak to you. Wisdom will speak to you. Third, build a listening life in prayer. Without prayer and regular communication with God, we cannot expect to hear or be led by wisdom's voice. How can we hear wisdom without prayer? Read Scripture and then listen. What is the Lord saying to you? Listen in prayer. And last, getting biblical community. You say this all the time. You better believe I do. We're not coming up with creative magic here. This is means of grace. God has designated certain means to constantly give you what you need. Grace to battle sin and folly. Grace to be protected from the errors of our ways. You need grace. Worship, Scripture, prayer, and you need the church. Biblical community. Man, some of us are fools. You know why? Because we live in isolation from the voice of wisdom that God grants us through the saints, the brothers and sisters in Christ. Get in front of somebody and listen to what they have to say. Even when you don't like what they said, listen. The best of friends will push the most uncomfortable buttons, right? And ask us the tough questions. The Lord is using that. Who do you have in your life regularly? Particularly, who in this body, known as the membership of Renovation Church, do you have that you can invest in and be invested in? You need to listen to wisdom in the voices of the church. Amen? We have a foundation on Christ. Now we have a life we're building. A life that listens. There are two voices. It's hard to listen to two voices. It's hard to hear. You're distracted. You're looking at the Lord, maybe, and you're kind of engaging, but you're distracted by the other voice that's calling out to you. Listen to me. Come with me. Sinners say, let this be a wake-up call for all of us to keep our focus on Lady Wisdom, to keep our focus on the word and teaching of Jesus Christ, to listen to wisdom and to live secure. Amen? Amen. Join me in prayer. Thank you, God, for this word, for all that you've taught us in it. Open our ears. Really open our hearts by your Spirit. Keep us from folly. Assure us of salvation in Christ Jesus alone. And give us peace as we deal with the difficulties of life, but secure in you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.